Food is love. I don't know if you've ever heard that old equation. It speaks to the reality that when we love someone, when we care about them, one way we express that is by wanting to feed them. Because we all need food to survive and to share that meal with someone who is dear to us is a very sweet experience of human life. Food is love. Sometimes that observation is attached to a particular ethnic group. Like, you know, for an Italian mother, food is love. But I think that's wrong. I think it's really universal. That cuts across all of our ethnic differences. And also, I don't think it's that gender-based either. Even though we often picture, you know, a mother, or better yet, a grandmother, feeding her family as an expression of love. It's true of men, too. Even if a man couldn't peel a potato to save his soul, if you imagine a family with the most traditional gender roles, as we say, the man who is sitting there with his family at dinner, even if he's done nothing to cook the asparagus, he knows that it's by the sweat of his brow that that food has been put on the table. And especially if he has had any experience of hard times in his own life, and, you know, growing up with a little deprivation, he takes great satisfaction in the feeling that he is feeding his family, that he is providing a meal for them, and they are not going hungry. So this is a common, absolutely fundamental human experience. Food is love. And that is the reality behind that image in the first reading of the Mass today from the prophet Isaiah, in which the prophet speaks about a great moment of communion between God and not only his chosen people, but people from all over the earth who will be gathered for a banquet on the holy mountain. That holy mountain, of course, that's always Zion, the mountain where the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, is built. That banquet is a moment of communion between God, his chosen people, and all the people of the world. It's also a moment in which victory is celebrated. Because in that vision of Isaiah, the banquet is enjoyed when all the suffering is past. The tears have been wiped from every eye, as the prophet says. It is a banquet that comes as the celebration of God's victory over suffering and death. So we have that in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. And it's upon that image that the Lord Jesus builds when he tells the parable that we have in today's gospel. We might say that the Lord raises the stakes in telling that gospel parable, because it's not just a banquet in which love is expressed and received. It is a wedding banquet. The connection between food and love could not be stronger than it is in the image of a wedding banquet. But this is a very particular wedding banquet, because the host is the king, who is representing God. The bridegroom is the son of the king, the Lord Jesus himself, the only begotten son of the Father. But who is the bride? Who is the bride of the Lord Jesus? In our Catholic theology, the Lord's bride is the church. All of us who are members of his body are also spoken about as being the bride of Christ. On the cross, the Lord's side was pierced by the soldier's lance, and out came blood and water, symbolizing the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist that give the church its identity. Just as from the side of Adam was taken the rib with which his wife Eve was formed, so from the side of Christ was born the church that would be his bride. The church is also spoken of as the body of Christ, because in our theology we say that in marriage, the two become one body. So those two images are not in competition with one another. They complete one another. The church is the body of Christ. It is also the bride of Christ. So at most wedding banquets, there are two people who are being married. Everyone else at the banquet is celebrating the love of that couple that begins a new life together. In the parable that the Lord tells in the gospel today, it's a unique marriage banquet in which the Lord himself is the bridegroom and the bride is the body of all those who belong to him. So we are not just guests. We are guests of honor at that banquet. That great wedding banquet is an image of heaven. That's clear in this gospel, even more so in the book of Revelation. The marriage feast of the Lamb, Christ the Lamb of God, appears in the book of Revelation as a way to express the final glory and joy of heaven, in which our union with the divine Son of God is consummated, is made complete. We see him face to face. We see him completely as he is, and we are seen by him. We love him, and we are loved by him in the glory of heaven. Nothing is standing between him and us. No sin, no human fault is any longer in the picture. No suffering, no pain, no death. So the marriage of the Lamb is an image of heaven. Parable the Lord tells in today's gospel looks ahead to that glory of heaven, which, like the image in the prophet Isaiah, is also that moment of final victory when all the suffering is in the past. The tears have been wiped from every face. There is no more suffering, but only joy and glory. The Lord ups the ante in that gospel parable by talking about the banquet, not just as a beautiful banquet of rich, juicy food and choice, pure wines, but as the wedding banquet. And he also ups the ante, we might say, by speaking about those who refuse to come to the banquet. That's something absent in the prophecy of Isaiah in the first reading. Historically, of course, those who reject the invitation to the banquet, that part of the parable is aimed at the chief priests and elders of the people who are not so eager to receive Jesus, the Messiah, that has been sent to them, and to accept his invitation to the new covenant and to live in the kingdom of God and to live in the hope of unity with the Holy Trinity in heaven. But in our own time, 2,000 years later, we certainly readily see another application for that part of the parable in which there are those who reject the invitation. Of course, to give food to others, to feed others, is an expression of love. But to be willing to be fed is likewise an acceptance and a reciprocation of that love. The last thing any of us wants is to be trapped for a long dinner with someone whom we really dislike. There's an ad on television for this dating service called It's Just Lunch. And one of the ideas behind this dating service, as I understand it, is the last thing you want is to be trapped for dinner with somebody with whom things really aren't going well. So let's just do lunch or get drinks after work. We'll see how it goes, and I'll see whether I'm willing to commit to a whole dinner with you. You know, in a family, to provide the dinner is an expression of love. When the moment comes that the teenager isn't so interested in having dinner with the family, he's very busy with the friends or doing a lot of things. That is a moment of a little pain, because it is at some level a rejection of the love that's offered. And so that happens. That happens. That the invitation is rejected because it's not that the food won't be any good, but it's that we do not love that person who has extended the invitation enough to want to be there with that person. And so we know that that's a reality in the life of the church. It has been from the very beginning, that the Lord invites all of the baptized to the banquet of the Eucharist that anticipates the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage feast of the Lamb in eternity. That is one of the important ways that we understand what we do here on Sunday morning and every day of the week. Of course, in the Mass, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, Calvary, is made present. That's a very important way to understand what happens in the Mass. But also, we say truly that what happens in the Mass is an anticipation of the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. And even we are somewhat graphic in our Catholic faith in being able to talk about the gift of Holy Communion, that it is an anticipation of our perfect union with Christ the Bridegroom. Because in the union of marriage, the body of the bridegroom comes into the body of his beloved, his bride. So in the Eucharist, we say, the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord Jesus comes into our body to seal the love that exists between Christ, the bridegroom, and us, his church, which is his body. So it is a beautiful, mystical, and tender invitation that Christ extends to the faithful to be with him in the Eucharist. And we know that it is, sadly, that invitation is not always accepted. Obviously, there are human things, human imperfections in the way we celebrate the liturgy and in the human personality of the priests and the others that are visible. There are distractions. that make the celebration of the Eucharist an imperfect reflection of the joy and the glory and the beauty of heaven. But this is what the Lord has given us to sustain us on our journey to that glory. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, we thank the Lord for that invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb that we experience now in this world in the celebration of the Eucharist. We thank him that he has given us the grace to accept that invitation. We ask him for the eyes of faith with which to see him present and our true union with him in the celebration of the Eucharist every week, every time that we are able to gather around his altar. And we ask that a greater love for the Lord who extends this invitation might be given to those who are not so eager at this moment to receive it, especially among our own loved ones and friends, that there might be an understanding of the greatness and the tenderness of that invitation that's given, and that the love the Lord has shown for us by preparing this feast for us might be reciprocated.